Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. Today, as we come before Him, we come knowing what we're talking about, what we're teaching about, because we're teaching on the very reality that we hold as the mission of this church, to love God, love others, and go. And we're looking at the depths of all of those things, those three commands that He gave us that literally sum up all of the scriptures, all of the prophets, all of the law, everything from Genesis to Revelation. And in them, we will find today that one of the greatest of those commands, other than loving God, is loving others. And we're going to see just how much Jesus puts on it. So today, let us endeavor into the Word again, going to the book of Mark. So join me in the book of Mark, because we are going to read once again the very commands that the Lord has given us from chapter 12, beginning in verse 29. And we read these words from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And Jesus answered and said, "The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Can I get an amen? And in that, we're looking today at loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, I want us to point on something here, because the word here tells us that we are to love our neighbor, how? As ourself. So we are called to look at this, to seek this out in a very particular manner, and understand from that manner what the Lord wants from us. Because I can love you as a stranger, and I'm not obeying the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the way I would love a stranger is not the way I would love myself. Is that clear? I mean, does that make sense to everybody out there? Because that's generally how we handle the world. Do we love the world? Do we love others the way we love ourselves? We take pretty good care of ourselves. At least we think we do. But the reality is, do we love the rest of the world in such a way? Well, how do you love yourself? Well, do you make sure you're fed when you're hungry? Do you sleep when you're tired? Do you go to the doctor when you're sick? For some of you, you can't answer all those questions yes, because we're Pennsylvania Dutch people and we don't go to the doctor until we're half dead. We'll stay up halfway through the night and try to drive, you know, from here to Colorado in one evening rather than taking two. Yeah, I'm getting some head nods here. Yeah, so we don't even love ourselves appropriately sometimes. But God tells us what He wants us to do. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to be in the book of Matthew, and we're going to be in chapter 7. So please turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be looking, starting in verse 9 from Matthew 7. We're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 through 12. From the 9th verse in the book of Matthew, in the 7th chapter, we read these words. "Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask Him. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets." When we understand what Jesus is speaking here, because we do love our children, we do see that they get good things. But Jesus here is teaching us that we're to take that very level of self-sacrifice, because we do sacrifice for our children. How many of you go to work to provide a place for your child to live? How many of us go to, Bobby says not anymore, but you did, okay? And now they're waiting for their inheritance. Y'all got my point on that one, didn't you? We do sacrifice for our children, and it's something that we do willingly because we love them. And Jesus here says, treat others the way you want them to treat you. We want others to respect us, don't we? Well, then show a little bit of respect first. You know, I want you to think about this world and how things are today and what we see happening out there. Do we see respect coming, or does respect have to be received before respect is given? And I hate to say this, but in our world today, there are many times that you can be respectful towards a person and they're not respectful back. Does that make sense? We're seeing it all over the place. Why? Because people have gotten away from the truth of God. People have gotten away from that which is moral and right and good. And Jesus told us these things were going to happen. Because as we look at the words that we're going to see here today, as we look at the scriptures that God has given us, we're going to see how far we've departed from this. But how important do you think is this command? How important do you think is this command? And I think it's amazing because we don't have to go anywhere else than this page to see just how important this command is. Well, what do you mean, Pastor Dubs? We just read that and it really didn't say anything about being important. Well, I want you to look at the two verses before it and the two verses after it. Because remember what we say about Scripture, context, 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 right? What does it say for the first two verses from 7 and 8 of the same chapter? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. God here is talking about the kingdom and salvation and life eternal. Okay? He's looking at how do you get in? And then he tells us that we're good to our children, but we need to be good to others. We need to respect others the way we want to be respected. Because one of the keys here in what Jesus is telling us, did he not love us greater than we loved him? And that is the key. The key is this love thing. And guess what we're going to be talking about next week? Everybody thinks we're going to be talking about go, right? Ah, wrong chicken. Because we've been talking about love for 4 weeks. 5 weeks, including today. And how many of us know what biblical love really is? In our world today, love is this warm and fuzzy feeling that I have for a time and then it goes away, so now I got to go find it again. Nah, it don't work that way. But I want us to understand, because here love means sometimes you don't get anything back, but you got to be willing to give it in the first place. Because we're to love others as we want them. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that they're going to give it back to you. In fact, most times it means they're going to have to be taught how to give it back. Which means you're going to have to give and give and give. Parents, how much giving did you give to your kids? You know, I can remember being a dad, and well, I'm still a dad, now I'm a granddad. And I can remember when Russell would get upset and frustrated with me, and he'd say, I hate you. Then I just look at him and laugh and say, yeah, I said that about my mom and dad too, and I still love them. Took me a little while to get over it, but guess what? We grow up, don't we? And sometimes we have to have a little bit tougher skin than the people we're dealing with. Because one of the things I want us to remember, when we're dealing with people who are out there in the world, how much of that is facade? How much of it is fake? Because they don't know truth. Jesus took a lot I mean, how do you think he made it to Golgotha? Think about that, just that one day. And he gave for 3 years of his ministry. But Jesus gave even before that. And Jesus is still giving. Because how many times have you and I screwed up? And he's still giving. And we need to be just like that to our world. It's going to hurt. It's going to cost us something. But guess what? I got a rich daddy. And my inheritance is far greater than anything you'll ever see. Can I get an amen from the church? Because we won't see it until we get there. And then we're going to finally realize, oh my goodness, when he said everything was ours, he meant everything. So are we willing to give away what little we have here to receive it all in the end? Now, we've got to be wise about that because we can give to the point where there's no more of us. Is that a truth? Yes, it is. We have to be careful because we can be hurt. Please remember, we're to love people. We're not to enable people. What's the difference? Love says no. Does God give you everything you asked for? Which one of you won the lottery this week? Yeah, I didn't think so. We got to remember, God wants us to do this in safety and in reality and in truth. And that means no sometimes. God has said no to me more often than I think he said yes because I was dumb for a lot of years. I can remember coming to the Lord when I was 18. I had no idea what that stuff meant. I just kept asking and asking and asking. How many of you kept asking? It does say to ask and you shall receive, right? Ask and you shall knock and the door will be open. I was knocking loud. I think I was knocking on the wrong door. I was knocking on the door of self and pride and all those things because I was not knocking on the door of the Lord's heart, which means that I'd be doing the right things. So we've got to look at this context. But how does he end it then? Because I told you, context. What does he say after this statement? Look at your Bibles to verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Brothers and sisters, this thing that he is talking about here is the way of salvation. Can I get an amen? And that way of salvation, Jesus is telling us one of the key factors to this off-ramp is to treat others as you would have others treat you. Now I want you to think about that because how did Jesus treat us? He died for us. Now I'm going to tell you right now, you are not Jesus Christ. Did you hear me say that? You are not Jesus Christ. So God's not saying you got to die for somebody in a physical sense, but you may have to die in an emotional sense. You may have to die in a self sense because we have to give up some of who and what we are in order for these things to happen, which means pride has to go the wayside, doesn't it? Which means my arrogance needs to go the wayside. I've got to see others as more important than me. And is that not what Jesus did? And man, that's a narrow door because I don't know if I want to walk through that door because it means sacrifice. Yeah, it does. But do you realize how important this one scripture is? Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I'm amazed at what Jesus and what the scripture says about this verse. This one little verse. Do any of you have any idea what else the scripture says about this one little verse? I think you probably do. I know you've read it. How many of you have read the Bible through? Yeah. If you have, you have read about this more than you know. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Because you see, when we seek to love our neighbor, we need to ask the question, who is our neighbor? From Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to begin in the 25th verse. Now, this is amazing to me. When I read this scripture to you, I want to set this up just a little bit. I love the way the NASB says this. It says, and a lawyer stood up, okay? A lawyer stood up. Who is the lawyers of this day? He was a Pharisee, okay? The Pharisees were the lawyers, all right? Because you had Pharisees and you had Sadducees. What were the Sadducees? They were the scribes. They were the ones who wrote down the law that the Pharisees would spit out, okay? So here's this lawyer. He knows the law. He knows God's law. And this is what he does. A lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How does it read to you? Don't you love that question in a Bible study? I hate that question in a Bible study because you can make it say anything you want, okay? And Jesus knew that. That's why he asked this guy that question that way. Because guess what? It don't matter how you read it. It matters how God meant it. Can I get an amen, church? So we're going to get into this. This is fun. How does it read to you? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Did this guy know the law? Boy, you better bet he knew the law. He knew the word of the law, but did he know the law? The law was standing right in front of him. His name was Jesus Christ. I think it's amazing. When you and I understand this precept, when we realize that the law is Jesus Christ, it changes our perspective that we need to enter through that narrow gate. Him alone. He is the living word, and he is yet alive. Can I get an amen? And Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But, oh, I love these buts, don't you? You know, we all have buts in our life, but, you know, as a pastor, do you know how many times I hear that word? I will bring the truth. I will bring the hope. I will bring the glory. I will bring the all that's needed as much as I am able because I am not perfect. Ask that lady sitting right there. And she will say, yes, but. Because there's always a but. But then there's God. And what does Jesus say? But, wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? So he wanted Jesus to answer a question. And I love the way Jesus answers questions. How many of you love the way Jesus answers questions? I love the way Jesus answers questions. How did he answer this question? So Jesus replied and said, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Who was Jesus talking to? He was talking to the lawyer. He was talking to one of the religious elites. And Jesus posed him a story that brought into question 2 people in higher authority than the lawyer, the priest and a Levite. Remember, the Levites are the ones who served in the temple. They were God's chosen people to be his anointed men and women. It was from the Levite families that the priests came. So here's this lawyer, a person of high stature, being told that 2 more people of even higher stature who should know God's word and live God's word did not. But along came a Samaritan. Now this is the awesome part. I love Jesus. Who are the Samaritans to the Jews? Half-breeds. Did not Jesus call the Samaritan woman a dog? Yeah. They were despised by the Jewish people. Now, please understand, when Jesus responded to her in the manner that he did, he was not rebuking her. He was literally testing her faith, because if you remember, he went on to say that she has greater faith than many of the people in the Jewish community that he was around, because she believed by faith that he was who he said he was and could do what he said he could do. So here's this Samaritan, and he's looking right at the Levites. He's looking right at the priests. He's looking right at the lawyer and saying, "What do you do?" Here this one is who is a dog among us. Here is this one who is nothing to us in our customs and traditions. However, in the eyes of the Lord, who is this one? This one is the one doing the very work of the gospel. The one who is doing the very work of the law that was apportioned to us. And who is the law? Jesus Christ. So we need to remember, when we want to test somebody, when we want to try somebody, when we want to look at where somebody's falling short, how short are we falling? We have to remember, people are going to screw up. We never screw up. I haven't screwed up in my lifetime. Man, you ought to see the faces I'm getting right now. Wrong chicken. Thank you, Brother Bobby. Used my own line on me. Woo. We are all messed up. And God knows it. And that's why Jesus paid the price. To show us the way. To bring us to the truth that when we receive those 2, we may have the life. And we're to give that away the same way he gave it away. You see, when we look at answering this question, who is our neighbor? Those who need mercy. Those who are right there in our midst who need mercy. You know, I'm thinking of Brother Bob and how you guys went down there to outside of Philadelphia, Kingston? Was that Kensington? Those folks who were down there dealing with addiction and all the different things that are going on down there, all that homelessness that's down there, you know, all these people that are just coming in by the thousands and how bad it is. I mean, needles in the roads and just think about how bad that squalor is. And it's not just in one place in our United States. It's throughout our land. I mean, you can go to Oregon, you can go to California, you can go to Boston, you can go to any major city in the United States and you see it. You don't have to look far, you don't have to look hard. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have to walk outside of Lebanon to not see it. It's right here. It's in my backyard. And am I reaching out to those people, those folks in need? Now, yeah, we do as a church, and I praise each and every one of you. You know, we put 35 pounds of goods together and sent it to LCCM. Next week, we're going on our prayer walk. Amen. We understand these precepts. We understand these principles, and we try to work on them. We can't do it all, but what we can do, we need to do well. Can I get an amen? God doesn't tell us we need to do it all, but we need to do something. And that means each and every one of us praying, walking, giving, investing in other people's lives in a daily basis. That doesn't mean that you got to go join some other place, but as you are living your life, do these things. The folks who are around you, they are your people that you need to be touching, that you need to be sharing the love of Jesus Christ with. And I'm amazed because I know you folks here. I want to get to know you folks out there. And in 2 weeks, there's going to be an awesome announcement made on this channel. So please stick around. At the end, after the 26th, there's going to be a recording at the end for you folks that are out there on the internet. Because we're going to do something amazing. I told them a couple weeks ago we were going to, and we're finally going to get to it because we're working on it. We're slow. But that's because we're trying to do it right. Can I get an amen? Got to take your time. And in taking your time, it's going to what? Take your time. You're not going to be able to get it all done in a day. I'm going to tell you right now, some of you folks, I've been investing in you for 20 years. And I still wonder, what you doing? But do you think I'm going to quit? No, because Jesus has invested in me for 61 years. Soon to be 62. And he ain't done yet. And the more he gives me, the more I have to give you. And I'm going to do it until the end. Why? Because Jesus loved me, and I need to love you. I want to love you. I want to be part of your life. Why do you think we're going up to pastor's camp here in just a couple weeks, guys? Because I've been told to give my life away to all of you. Now, ladies, I'd love to have you up, but I don't think it'd be appropriate to have you in a men's weekend. So we asked the ladies to go away together. Amen? And you have. And I pray you'll do it again. We've been doing, how many years have we been doing that, sis? Since our conception, at least the last 10 years. Either Sandy Cove or up to the mountains, getting away, having that time of refreshing and investing in one another. And we come back from those times and it is upbeaten. It is wonderful. It is good. And we grow. But we need to be inviting people along from outside our church. And that's what we're trying to do here with this remote member thing that we're doing. Getting folks in to understand that once we have you in here, we want to teach you how to love so that you can get connected out there. We're going to be that safe place. Jesus and the church is our safe place. But after we've learned it here, we need to take it out into the world. Can I get an amen? Because this, I haven't told you how important this context is. So I got to take you to the next scripture. Turn to Romans 13. Beginning in the 8th verse, Romans 13 and 8. I want us to understand that you know, when Jesus was speaking here to this gentleman, he was looking at the law and that, you know, they were supposed to be giving and weren't. Because I want us to understand, Jesus, when Christ came and put himself on the cross, he did not make less the burden upon us. He actually raised the burden upon us because he took it all the way back to the beginning to where it was meant to be rather than the way it was interpreted by men. So he didn't lessen what we're to do. He actually brought it back to the standard at where it was set. From the book of Romans, I stopped flipping, so you got to let me catch up to you. From the book of Romans, in the 13th chapter, beginning in the 8th verse, thus saith the word of the Lord, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in the carousing of drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity, not in sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Amen and amen. How important is this command, love your neighbor as yourself? It sums up all of the law and the prophets, all of it. I'm going to tell you right now, that's 2/3 of this book. One command, 2/3 of this book. When you and I begin to realize, wow, loving God is the most important thing that we will ever do. But when we begin to love God and we give Him our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength, He will transform us to a person who can love his neighbor as himself. And from that, the whole of Scripture is wrapped up from the beginning to the end, minus one little piece, and we'll look at that in 2 weeks. Because we have to go yet. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, I got it. It's mine. I now own it. But guess what? That's not how the gospel is owned. You don't own the gospel. The gospel has no effect on you if all it does is save you. Did you know that? Come back in 2 weeks and I'll teach you that one. Because we are a selfish people, aren't we? How many of us have more junk in our house than we have house to put it in? Isn't it amazing? I can say things like that and you all just let, because you know I am talking to you. Of course, the Lord has already talked to me before I can talk to you. Yeah, that's the way this thing works. But when we think about what Jesus just said here through the apostle, that when we look at what this command means, all of those commandments that are part of the Ten Commandments are summed up in this love your neighbor thing. Because if we truly give our hearts to God, we're not going to covet. We're not going to seek adultery. We're not going to seek fornication. We're not going to murder. We're not going to steal. We're not going to lie. Because all those things are against our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Those who are in need. How many people are in need? If you're not in Christ Jesus, you've got the greatest need of it all. But if you're in Christ Jesus, you still have need because we need to grow more. Can I get an amen, church? We are the most needy people you'll ever see. How do I know that? Because Jesus died for all of us. Not one of us is going to make it in on our own merits. But as we apportion what Jesus has given to us, to others, all of a sudden our lives are changed and we are as Christ to the world. Guess who Jesus is? He is the fullness of the image of God in human form. What was given to us? What did God call us in the beginning before sin came into the world? Let us create man in our image. You see, to get that image back, we have to be as Christ in this world. And isn't that what we want? That when God looks upon us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees the perfect reflection of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, our God, who has loved us to life. And today, I pray that you will see just how important it is, because we need to walk in this world to achieve this goal. We have to walk with an attitude of gratitude for all that Christ has given us in love. And may we be as Christ and love others as ourselves have been loved by Christ. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, we come before you. Lord, this is a tall order and we're going to have to work at it. But we know you're going to be right there by our side. So Father, teach us, guide us, walk with us, encourage us, and give us the strength of your Holy Spirit that we may risk loving others, that they too may find the love of your Son, who is our Lord and Savior. For Lord Jesus, you have loved us to life, not that we would keep it, but that we would give it away, and in giving it away, we would find even more life. Life unto abundance is your word. So may it be in our lives that we give it away, and may the kingdom grow with every act of love. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.